Excited about our young adult ministry getting started. And my daughter did a video with just a couple years ago. We bought her a real nice camera for her YWAM around the world trip. And I didn't even know it could do video. It could do all kinds of cool stuff. So it's neat. I tell your neighbor, Jesus really, really likes you. Just tell him that. Sometimes in the church, when I counsel couples, and I don't do it that as much as I used to, they'll often say, we love each other, we just don't like each other. The good thing about God, he loves you unconditionally, powerfully, beautifully, eternally. He also likes you. He likes the way he made you. Kindergartner teacher wanted to teach her students about self-esteem. So she thought about doing something. She came up with a little plan. So she began her class by saying, whoever thinks they're dumb, stand up. Well, no one stood up. Suddenly Johnny pops up. And she was shocked and didn't know what to do. She says, why'd you stand, Johnny? Do you think you're dumb? He said, no, teacher. I just didn't want you to be the only one standing up. For a few moments tonight, we have the privilege tonight of recognizing the call of God on some beautiful folks in our church. And we're going to be ordaining them at the end of the service. And it's an exciting night. Because whenever a leader is released into the kingdom, and these people are already leading, we're just recognizing that, sanctioning that as the best we can as leaders here. But leadership is an expansion, a multiplication of God's grace. So our city's about to get more of Jesus because of what's going to happen tonight in this room. But for a few moments tonight, I'll be talking to them and to you all. My little sermon tonight called Let's Be Friends. Let's Be Friends. When I began in the ministry a long time ago, we're pushing into 40 years here in a couple of years. I began the ministry really as a servant, seeing myself as a servant of God, and every minister should be driven by the impulse of service. You know, we are no greater than we're serving, loving, and fulfilling God's commandments. Obedience smells to God. It's the greatest smell we can ever give God. But the more I've walked with God, I realize that what God really wants from all of us is just a deep, abiding, and eternal friendship. He wants to be close to us. And he wants us to overcome all the hindrances and barriers, the walls both we were born with, the ones we developed, the ones we're taught, the ones the enemies lied to us about. He wants to show us his true intention for us. And that is, we are his sons and daughters. And when I was raising kids, when Mary and I had our four kids, when they're little, you know, you're telling them what to do. You're training them. You're doing your best to model a Christ-like life before them. But what happens when they become adults is kind of cool. You stop telling them what to do, and you start being their friend. And it's cool that I have adult friends now that I gave birth to, that were born. And it's neat that we're friends, and that's what God wants too. I'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. Tell your neighbor, God wants to be your friend. A friend request has been sent. Jesus is speaking so beautifully, so poetically, but yet so poignantly, powerfully, prophetically. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, let's stop right there. If he takes it, you don't need it. And the first mark of maturity, as Christ teaches about it now, growing into fruitfulness, is that we allow God without complaint to take things that he deems unnecessary and especially unproductive or unfruitful. So we have to trust God when something leaves, knowing something better is going to come. If you can let go of that, God says, I can give you this. Don't cling to what heaven would take, because there's something better in store for your life. So he takes it away. Every branch then, so the first kind of branch is a fruitless branch. So I just double dog dare you to pray the prayer, Lord, if there's any part of my life that's fruitless, go ahead and take it away. And then don't be shocked about what leaves. I'm astonished that that just left. Well, you asked the Lord if there's anything. Whenever I pray that prayer as a pastor, I'm astonished what kind of ministry suddenly stopped. But Lord, it was a ministry. I guess it wasn't very fruitful. He takes it away, and then he goes on to the next branch, every branch that bears fruit. Oh, good stuff. A fruitful branch. I don't know about you, but that's the happiest I ever get when I start producing something for God. Amen. Whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, maturity, purpose, destiny. And so every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So let me get this right. He takes away the things that don't bear fruit, and he cuts back the things that do bear fruit. This is so key because Christians often misinterpret what season they're in. In other words, doing good, Pastor, and I just don't know what happened. I just, you know, all of a sudden, stuff just started leaving, and I've got a great word for you. I said it a couple years ago. I'll remind you. Subtraction is the season just before multiplication. And he prunes it because he knows that by taking you back a little, he can double or quadruple the product of your life, the productivity, thank you, Pastor Debbie, of your life. So if he prunes me, so now we're getting into maturity when we can say to Christ, when we can say to the Father, Lord, if there's anything you want to prune, go ahead and prune. If there's anything you want to cut back a little, his intention, you know, we can't sing about God's love and goodness for 45 minutes and then talk about God's hatred and judgment in the sermon. No, it is because he loves us, he prunes us. And because he knows how to get the most out of us. And so as Christians, we have to make sure that we're not combative, that we're not resistant, and especially we don't become discouraged when pruning comes. Y'all with me? Okay, but there's even better news. He prunes it so it can bear more fruit. So he goes from no fruit to more fruit, three stages. And then he says, here's the primary function, the primary tool, the primary shear that brings a cleaning and a pruning into your life. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So when his word comes to me, it's going to find my unfruitful areas and want to disconnect them. He's going to find my fruitful areas and prune them, develop them for greater fruitfulness, bring me to more fruit. So wherever you're at, God has more for you. And the first thing that's going to happen on your way to more is less. No amens, I'll go on. Now he begins a word. He uses this next word 10 times in the next 10 verses. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. Abide in me. Why? Well, the branch cannot by itself bear fruit. It has to be connected to the vine. And you cannot bear fruit unless you're connected to me. So my life's fruitfulness will always be a manifestation of my connectedness to Christ. Now, here's a simple way of saying it. your fruit reveals your roots. Your fruit reveals your root. So how God goes to our issues, he goes to the depth and core of our person in our identity, our beliefs, our thoughts. And there God reconstructs a kingdom model, a sonship, a daughter model. There his love rewires us, recircuits us, and so we stop thinking like orphans and start thinking like sons and daughters, and we stop thinking like strangers or slaves and we start thinking like friends, and we move into a different perception, paradigm, a different way of approaching life. And so our life then, the effectiveness of our life as Christians and leaders is directly related to the quality of our connectedness to Jesus. Okay, abide in me, dwell in me, live in me. How do we do that? Well, we do that, we just did it for 45 minutes, by worship, by prayer, by meditation, by God consciousness. See, you can abide with God all day long by having your mind and heart open in a conversation to God. Abide in me. Okay, I am the vine. There he is again. This wonderful, beautiful parable. I'm the vine, you're the branch. So he's reminding us we can't do this without him. Amen? That's the wonders of grace. Grace says you don't have to do it without me. To stay connected, my grace will supply everything. Well, Pastor, it's so hard to be a Christian. No, it's not. Everything that you're called to produce is in the vine. If you stay connected to it, your DNA, the DNA of Christ will manifest in your life. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, there it is again. And I in him bears much fruit, the fourth kind of fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. So God's will is for you to get fruity. Tell your neighbor, I see fruit in your future. Just tell them that, okay? So what we would say about fruit, fruit is answered prayers. Fruit's fulfilled destiny. Fruit is Christ-likeness. Fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. Fruit is the gifts of the Spirit. So fruit is giving everything inside of you out of you. Have you ever watched TV or watched a commercial and there comes a perfect person, you know, they're flexing their six-pack or their 12-pack, and did you know you got one of those in you too? They just got theirs out of them. And so Jesus said, the cool thing about the Father, he's an expert gardener. He knows how to get the most out of you. He knows how to develop your potential. Ultimately, our success. What is success in life? Finding and fulfilling our purpose, destiny, and potential. And then he says this great sentence, for without me you can do nothing. How many have found that to be true? So without Jesus, we cannot produce. Now, it doesn't mean we can't live and breathe and have jobs and have families, but we can't produce heavenly fruit without being connected to the heavenly person of Jesus. Okay? If anyone does not abide in me, word again, he's cast out as a branch and withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire. They are burned. Great verse, famous verse, one of my most beloved verses. If you abide in me. See, Jesus is, he's just hours away from the cross. He's a few days away. These are his last words. John captures his last sermon. It's beautiful. They're his most intimate expressions. He's giving us secrets. And here is the word. In the beginning was the word. amen, who was with God, who was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the life of man. And the light shined in darkness. The darkness could not extinguish it. And so he said this, let me show you how things were before the universe was. Let me show you how we made stuff. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So the combination of God's spirit and word, his presence, his prophetic purpose, you will ask what you will. You'll ask what you desire. We lose so many people here because people say, I don't want, Pastor, all I want is my needs met. Well, that's a very selfish and short-sighted request, because it's good for your needs to be met, but God's got some stuff he'd like you to do beyond your need. And if you put his word in you, and if you put his spirit in you, spend time in his presence, he's going to awaken holy desire. And you'll start being in sync with heavenly purpose. And you'll start asking God for cities and nations and crazy things. You'll pray prayers that are beyond your scope of your influence or education or experience. You'll start identifying with a consciousness that's beyond your own intellectual properties. You'll start, man, there's something in me. Wow, what's going on? If you'll ask what you desire. And then he uses a great word, and it shall be done for you. It's the word geomony. And geomony means to create something out of nothing. Bingo. I preached this a couple of years ago. A minister was sitting in the service. They wrote a whole book on my... That's what I get for not writing books fast enough. On that one word. You'll create things out of nothing. So what do leaders do? Leaders don't spend their whole life managing what is seen and administrating what is visible. Leaders create a different future. Leaders change the world. Christians. Okay, next verse. By this, Papa, my Father's glorified. He's the most glorified when you're the most productive, when you're the most fruitful. So you will be my disciples. Everything that fulfills its purpose creates glory for God. The sun shining, the moon reflecting, the bird flying, the fish swimming, the flower blossoming. Inside of you, there's a glory that the capacity, the destiny, the purpose of God is assigned to manifest out of your life. When it starts manifesting, your life gives God the greatest glory. When you bear the greatest fruit. Okay. Much fruit. Now, I'm so glad he continues his thoughts, because he begins now to identify what it looks like to abide in him. As a father loved me, I also love you. See, Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. Y'all with me? It's a funny story. I was talking with Tommy and Luke Barnett, and I think Luke said, when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father to me. I giggled about it the rest of the day. He really captured his Father's heart. And Jesus said, if you want to know what God's like, just look at me. If you want to know what Papa's like. Then he says this, abide in my love. Every day, make sure you retune, that you refocus, and that you re-experience my love for you. My mercies are new every day. So abide in love. Abide in my love. And then he says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now to help us, because there's 563 rabbinic or Jewish commandments, here he says, here's my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another. He says it in chapter 13. He repeats it here. Here's my commandment. Here's the commandment of the new covenant. Love each other. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I love how the moment he gave it to me, I did become steward of its properties, of its effectiveness, of its exercise or experience. Jesus said, I'm giving you my joy. What are you going to do with it? Keep it, develop it, nurture it, use it. In fact, it's his faith, his love, all of these properties, all these virtues, all these fruit are his. Okay. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. He is now preaching to himself. He's readying himself. He's preparing them. You are my friends. There we are. It took me a long time. I got there. You're my friend. If you do what I command you. What did he command us to do? What did he command us to do? We are never more Christ-like. We are never more God-like than when we love other people. You are my friends when you keep my commandments. Oh, by the way, my commandment is to love. Next verse. No longer do I call you servants. This is important. This is a distinguishing, important moment in the life of his disciples. And for every maturing believer that's going to enter into intimacy with God, he says this, I don't call you a servant. For a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. So this is important. The Bible says the children of Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew the ways of God. What's the distinction? Moses knew what motivated God. The children of Israel only saw the manifestations of God. So when you know the heart of God, Moses ran in front of God a couple of times when God was ready to start over and wipe out Israel and start over with him. Moses said, no, don't do it. Appealing to the God he knew. Okay. You are my friends, not servants. No longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what's going on. I've called you friends for all things. Someone shout with me, all things. All things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So, what does that mean? It means God has stuff he wants to tell you. If you get close enough to him, you get the inside scoop. Secrets from God. I'll tell you everything the Father's shown me. I've made it known to you. The friends of God are people that access God's secrets and manifest God's love. Okay. You did not choose me. You didn't choose me. Before there was a world, before there was a universe and its billions of galaxies, and before there was a world and time, space, and matter, and oceans and seas and rivers and streams and mountains and valleys and rocks and minerals and birds and fish and flowers, and before there was that, I saw you. I chose you. I chose you. The closest English word we have to being chosen in the Greek is something that's eclectic. So, something that you like, something you see different and you can't do without it. I want that. I'm going to take that. I chose you and I ordained you or appointed you. Tonight we're ordaining some beautiful lives. That you should go and bear fruit. Here's what I found out. I have an earned doctorate. I've been ordained more times than I should have been. First time at 19, and then AG and Foursquare and Independent and Church on the Rock and da-da-da-da-da. Now, I appreciate every moment was sacred and special, but without fruit, it's just paper. Y'all with me? Without evidence, it's just a piece of paper. You are going to bear fruit, and your fruit is going to have such a rich, enduring quality. Your fruit will remain. Whatever you ask Papa in my name, I'll give it to you. Oh, by the way, don't forget to keep loving one another. Our lifetime goal must be to be like Jesus. And we are most like him when we're abiding in his love and we're bearing the fruit of loving behavior toward others. The fruitful leader is simply the person who's allowed God to bring the most pruning to their life. See, it's like a mountain, and the higher you go up with God, the less you can carry. The less essentials are allowed. The evidence of our connectedness to Christ is by the love we have for other people. I'm excited tonight about what God's doing here in the city, what God's about to do in this year. It's going to be a massively wonderful year. I'm excited about your life. I just want to encourage you. This year is your breakthrough year. And there's something you're going to produce. There's something you're going to give fruit to. There's something you're going to make happen. There's something that's going to come into existence this year because of your faith, your obedience, your love, your willingness to be pruned, your willingness to stay connected. I was just thinking about someone I tried to help, and they left. And knowing their pattern, the most they could stay with any city or ministry is about 2 years. They just keep popping around. And what they're looking for, they can't find because they won't put their roots down. This is your year. Someone say, it's my breakthrough year. Someone say, I'm saying yes to Jesus' friend requests. Turn to three people and say, you are God's friend. Come on, tell someone. Someone shout, I'm chosen. Yes, you are. We're going to pray right now for some wonderful people. I'm going to ask my staff to come up and help me. Bill, we're going to pray for these lovely people. Bill and Alita Markley, Wade and Priscilla Pond, Marlon Dylan Monk, Jim Moyer, Michael Williams. Come on up, you guys. Hey, you guys, all of our awesome candidates, just line up here right in the center. We want to see you and pray for you. So how many of you are excited that these wonderful people have not just, they're not just called of God, they're putting their roots down in our city, in this ministry. They've been selfless, sacrificial, they've been obedient, and every single one of them already has made a tremendous impact in our city, in our region, because of their love for people and because of their calling, their anointing. So we thank God for all of them. Amen. We love you. We thank God for all of you. And so I'm going to ask my staff to surround them. Let's right now, would you stretch your hands toward them, brothers and sisters? And we're going to just thank God by the person of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your hand upon Bill and Alita. Thank you, God, that you've chosen them. You've marked them to be leaders, to manifest your kingdom in a beautiful way, unique way, and powerful way. God, we receive them as gifts. We dedicate them for the purpose you have for their lives. We thank you, God. You showed me already, God, that they're a prototype of a new thing you're doing. You're breaking into realms of darkness. God, you're giving us keys to unlock people from dark places, from hurtful places. Thank you for the love of this family, their marriage, the new beginning that signified, and the awesome things you have for them. God, we bless you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God, for waiting Priscilla upon. We bless them now, God. Thank you for their love and service here. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask you, how many of you have had the joyous privilege of being greeted by Wade on the Sunday morning here? And someone say, Pastor, that can't be real. Well, just come back in 5 years. He'll be the same. He's like that all the time. And what an awesome way, amen, to share God's love, to greet God's people. And just let you know, Wade also is deeply engaged in our outreaches here. So he has this little trailer. I think he's got 3 or 4 or 5 barbecue things on it. And they go out to parks, and we feed 500 hungry people on our little barbecue wagon with Wade and the team. And just such a lover of Christ has been a great blessing to our Turning Point ministry. Lord, we thank you for the Ponds. We just thank you for the things you've done. Thank you, God, for their persistence, their faithfulness. Thank you, God, for Priscilla's, really, God, her triumphant overcoming in the marketplace, that you've turned her story around. I heard the Lord say, the Lord didn't just keep things from happening and protect you in a vulnerable season, but the Lord said, I'm releasing an unusual promotion to you. And God says, you're going to see things shift and change in a way that will bring honor to me and glory to me. The Lord says, thank you, son, for embracing with joy. Thank you for your faith. And thank you for abiding in me to the point where you pray big prayers, where you express great love, and you're unafraid of great assignments. And the Lord said, I'm going to shock this city by what I'm about to do. A great ingathering is about to happen. I see you at the front of an army of soul winners. And God says, it's harvest season. It's a year of harvest. And God says, get ready, get ready, get ready. Your dreams are coming true this season. God, thank you for our dear brother Wade. Priscilla, thank you, God, for Marla and Dylan Monk. Marla, for the last year and a half, has been the director of our Supernatural School of Ministry. And what a blessing it is to have her here. So, because ultimately, you know, when God gives us vision, when God gives me a vision to do something, it can't happen until the right person capable of stewarding that vision comes. And we're just so grateful God moved them. You know, Dylan's business brought them here, and they felt led to come here. And, you know, it's tough to leave Jerusalem. They were in Redding, California. So they left Jerusalem and came to the desert, and we're grateful for that. Lord, thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you, God, for their just outrageous obedience. Thank you, God, for Dylan's heart of gold. Thank you, God, for his soaring spirit, his overcoming nature. Thank you, God, that you delight in the testimony of his life as much as anyone on this planet, God. You celebrate him, what you've done in him, through him, for him. God, how far he's come. Thank you, God, for his great life. Thank you for the sparkle, the sparkling gem he is to you, God. Thank you for the things. I just release, God, a season of creativity to come in his life in a new realm. Thank you for Miss Marla, God. Thank you for the anointing upon her to steward, to leave. I heard the Lord say, I've made you a Deborah in this generation. And the Lord said to prophetically hear the sound of my spirit and to call my people to war, to take back from the enemy what has been stolen, to raise up warriors, to raise up soldiers, to raise up stewards of my glory, to raise up those that would be fearless, to raise up those that would go into dark places. And the Lord said, get ready, because I'm releasing in this place a multiplication spirit. And in one day, what has been in the dozens will be in the hundreds, and you will see a multiplication come in the realms of the stewardship and gracing of your ministry, the Lord says. And I'll send students, I'll send disciples from this place to every continent of this world. I'll send them with fire, I'll send them with grace, I'll send them with an anointing to destroy yokes. I'll send them and change territories through them. And the Lord says, I'm going to make this a hot spot here. I'm going to make this a boot camp. I'm going to make this a ground zero for an explosion of glory to the nations. And the Lord says, thank you for your radical faith and obedience. And God says, get ready. Multiplication's coming. God, thank you for Michael. Thank you for his heart. Michael's for the next year going to be mentored and serving with Pastor Bonnie Lloyd here, our awesome missionary pastor. And this young man has a heart of gold. We thank you, God, for Michael. Thank you for his hardest life. Thank you, God, for his willingness to serve, his longing, God, for you. And God, we just dedicate him to your purpose and counsel and plan. Lord, I declare no weapon formed against him can prosper. God, I thank you, God. As a spiritual father, I speak blessings over him. I cancel cursings and I release everything you have for him in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. He's a history maker and a world shaker. Thank you, God. He's going to see notable miracles in this next season, God. He's going to see, the Lord says, I'm going to quell violence through you. I'm going to stop deadly diseases through you. I'm going to repair broken minds through you. And I'm going to reach broken lives through you. And the Lord says, I'll do these things because you've allowed me to. And you've said, God, do anything you want to do. And because you prayed that big prayer, I'm going to do big things through you. I'm going to ask Dr. Ivrina, what you want to say, just a corporate prayer over everybody here, or anybody personally you want to say?
No, I want to talk to all of them. Okay. When Moses was saying goodbye, because he knew his destiny, and he looked at the people that had been through so much, and he knew the day would come when discouragement would hit again. And he makes a wonderful statement to them, which I'm making to you tonight. When you get discouraged, when you get tired, when you forget the prophetic word and the prayer that was prayed over you tonight, when all the thrill and excitement of this moment kind of fades, and the plucking of the fruit and the fruitless limb is taken off, remember all the way the Lord hath led thee. These 40 years, and 40 in the Bible is representative of the end of the judgment period. And he says, remember all the way you took a crooked path. Every turn God said turn right, you turned left. But he said, I've called you, and you're coming. And with the cords of a man, he put it about you, and look where you are tonight. And this pond is going to become an ocean. But anyway, all of this, remember all the way the Lord hath led thee these 40 years to prove thee. Not that God didn't know what they would do, but they didn't know what they would do. You don't have a clue what you're capable of. All the things you think you can do. Forget that one. All the things you think you can't do, forget that one too. Because the Lord says, as Pastor preached so beautifully tonight, you didn't make this choice. I have chosen you. Father, I pray over these that in the name of Jesus Christ, whom they serve, you will take whatever has to be taken quickly, and you will heal and burn with your presence the ends of that broken place where it can never grow back there. But there will be a newness of life, a newness of vision, a newness of hope. Fear will depart every time the enemy says, you can't. They won't. fear will depart because remember all the way the Lord has led thee. And look where you are tonight, ordained of God and sanctioned by this church, your father, pastor, and this congregation. I say go forward and conquer every fear and every foe.
Hallelujah. Woo. Come on, everybody, stand up. Come on. One more time, thank these wonderful people for what they're doing here and what God has. We celebrate all of you. We honor you and love you. The awesome thing about serving God is it's an adventure. And when my wife will talk to me about her life, she said, you know, I had no idea marrying a preacher would be this exciting. And the things God has done. Prayer team, would you join me down front? Lord, we love you. We worship you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God. Great are you, Lord. It's great your in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Come on, lift your hands. Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. Listen, if you need prayer for any reason tonight, we want to invite you to come. If you're hurting, if you need a physical healing, if you are not in a good place with God, if you've never received the forgiveness of God in the person of Jesus, forgiveness is not something you have to beg, it's something you simply have to receive. If you are going through a difficult time and want someone to pray the prayer of faith, anyone needing prayer tonight, come and get it. There's a wonderful, beautiful, sweet anointing here. The rest of you for a moment longer to worship the Lord. So I pour out my praise.
Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, it's your breath in our lungs.
Church, have a wonderful rest of the week. Come Sunday, we're going to have a great service here. Revolution continuing. God bless you. You can stay here and worship as long as you want to. We're going to stay praying, worshiping God. God bless you.